So my name is Jessica Trowbridge, and I have no relationships to disclose. You can see the title of my talk. The alternate title of my talk is The Role of Clinicians in Reproductive Environmental Health. So I work with the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment. It's at UCSF in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences. CREE's mission is to create a healthier environment for human reproduction by advancing scientific inquiry, clinical practice, and policy that prevent exposures to harmful chemicals in the environment. There it is. So today I'm going to talk about the need for engaging obstetricians and gynecologists in the field of reproductive environmental health. And we're going to talk about the results of a mixed method survey that we did in asking them about their attitudes and beliefs around this issue. And I wanted to also talk about some of the strategies that we've been implementing through our From Advancing Science to Ensuring Prevention Alliance, which I help lead. So first, the problem. Why do we need to engage obstetricians and gynecologists? Well, exposures come from everywhere, the air we breathe, the food we eat, work environment, so they're field workers, home, as was just talked about, and personal care products. Pregnant women are particularly vulnerable to these types of exposures. And studies have found that virtually all pregnant women are exposed to multiple chemicals at the same time. So an NHANES study found that pregnant women had 43 different chemicals measured in their blood all at the same time. This National Cancer Institute President's Report on Cancer found also that babies are born already exposed to chemicals. So the exposures that women are experiencing can also cross the placenta. The timing of exposure is important. The exposures that occur during pregnancy can impact the life of the offspring. Since pregnancy is also a time of rapid development and cellular differentiation, any exposure that can impact that can actually have serious impacts throughout the life course of the individual. So the problem is, one, that women are highly exposed to environmental chemicals, and two, that doctors often feel underprepared to deal with issues when they come up, as Christine talked about in her presentation. In our field, also working with obstetricians and gynecologists at UCSF, we also had a lot of anecdotal evidence that physicians cared about the issue and that they didn't have enough information. But we wanted to know if this was nationwide, if obstetricians felt this across the country, since you know, a lot of our anecdotal evidence is coming from people who are contacting us for information, so maybe it was an artifact of us being the Program on Reproductive Health and the Environment, so we had people reaching out to us already that were interested in this topic. So to find out, we conducted a mixed method survey. We collaborated with the American Congress of Obstetrics and Gynecology, which is among the largest organization for reproductive health professionals, for obstetricians and gynecologists, with 52,000 members. Over 24,000 fellows were surveyed, and we conducted 3 local focus groups in the Bay Area. So we really wanted a broad reach, again, finding out in the population of obstetricians and gynecologists, how did people feel about the issue of reproductive environmental health. So these are some of the things that physicians responded in their survey, in the focus groups here in San Francisco, that it was opening a Pandora's box to talk about reproductive environmental health. Sometimes they felt like they had more important things to deal with, such as diet, obesity, or smoking, for example. And in this case, what should the doctor focus on? Drinking the Coca-Cola out of the baby bottle, or the fact that the baby bottle is made out of plastic. So other things that physicians talked about was not having enough time to address these issues and not having enough information to adequately address these issues with their patients. So at the same time, we conducted the survey of the nationwide obstetricians and gynecologists, again sent to the 54,000 fellows. 24,000 fellows. 3 email blasts. What really got responses going was to give away an iPad at the end of it. The respondents came from across the country. We had, we originally got 22,625 responses, dropping those who were not actively practicing obstetrics and gynecology. We had a new N of 2,514. Would make sense that the places people came from were the places that had the higher proportion of obstetricians and gynecologists in their state. So, for example, California has a high proportion. 58% of our respondents were women, 41% men. And if we were to look at our average physician from this survey, we would see that the physician would be 50.1 years old, with an average of between 16 and 35 years practicing in obstetrics and gynecology. And there was a 2010 report of ACOG where they reported that about half of their fellows, the 52,000, were women, and also that their average age was about 50. So in terms of the response rate of our OBs, it does reflect, at least in that sense, the nationwide numbers. The majority reported having private practice, 54%, and also the majority also reported that they saw patients on Medicaid 0 to 20% of the time. So it makes sense if they're in private practice, they're not going to be seeing necessarily too many patients on Medicaid. So overall, we wanted to know what their attitudes and beliefs were regarding reproductive environmental health. And so we asked about their attitudes and asking, and their confidence in asking about these issues during their prenatal exams. So cigarette smoking is up here. It was also the Leichhardt scale, one being very not confident at all, five being very confident. Cigarette smoking is 4.9 with a very small standard deviation. So people are very, obstetricians are very confident in asking about cigarette smoking and much less so asking about environmental exposures. We wanted to know how often they addressed environmental exposure issues with their patients. Exposures like smoking, alcohol, and their diet are asked 99 to 100% of the time. But when it comes to environmental exposures, they ask much less, less than 50% for all of them. And BPA and phthalates and PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, being asked less than 10% of the time. And I just wanted to point out that asking about smoking and alcohol wasn't always the case. There was a time when obstetricians didn't ask about these types of things. So I point that out because what obstetricians ask in their clinical practice can be changed. We wanted to know if obstetricians actually felt that they had a role in preventing exposures, and 78% said that they did have a role. However, more than 50% said that they actually addressed this issue 0 to 20% of the time. So similar to what Christy saw in her presentation or presented to us today, that they feel that they have a role, but they're actually just not presenting it for some reason. We asked about where they got their information. So what sources were the sources that OBs trusted for getting information on environmental health? 75% said ACOG was the source that they trusted the most. And here I'd like to point out that the PACEUS, which is the Pediatric Environmental Health Specialty Unit, is at the very bottom. And they have resources available for clinicians to address environmental exposures. However, it's not something that OBs know about in terms of as a resource. Similar question, what would be most helpful for you? ACOG guidelines being the number one at 89%. So again, there's this gap between clinical practice and the science. Women are exposed to multiple chemicals. Doctors feel that they do have a role, but for many reasons aren't addressing these exposures with their patients. And the scientific evidence that we have available to us in the field isn't necessarily the same evidence that that doctors use for incorporating it into their clinical practice. For example, in our science, we have a lot of animal studies that can show effect or epidemiological studies, but clinicians look to pharmaceutical studies randomized controlled trials. Thank you. I knew I'd forget that word. So the goal is to bridge this gap between science and clinical practice. And to this end, we created the From Advancing Science to Ensuring Prevention Alliance. It started in 2008, and as a project of PRE, is made up of public health professionals, scientists, and clinicians who are working together to translate the science into improved clinical practice, an improved public policy on reproductive environmental health. And FASTEP's goal is to secure everyone's right to optimal reproductive health by fostering environments that prevent exposure to potential reproductive toxicants. So the next few slides, I'm going to talk about some of the strategies that we have been implementing through the From Advancing Science to Ensuring Prevention Alliance to improve clinical care and preventing exposures to toxic chemicals. For the past 4 years, FASTEP partners have worked together to synthesize that and vet the scientific evidence into tools for clinical practice. And to that end, FASTEP really worked hard to develop brochures and information for clinicians and their patients. So one of them is a white paper on pesticides that really synthesizes the evidence available on pesticide exposure for clinical practice, and also developed a patient-centered brochure to accompany the white paper so that when physicians would read this information and felt overwhelmed, they would actually have something in hand that they could use for their clinical practice in hand to their patients. The whole goal is that physicians know everything, but that they have resources that they can then give to their patients. And so these are some pictures of some of the other brochures that we've created. They're actually available outside if you would like to pick them up. And the nice thing about these brochures, or that we're very excited and proud about, is that they have easily updatable links available online through the PRE website, so they can be constantly updated as new evidence arises on these issues. One of our FASTEP members, Dr. Maria Zlatnik, took the text from those brochures and incorporated it into the electronic medical record system at UCSF. It's a very exciting system because any doctor now that sees a patient at UCSF will have these brochures come up as resources, which they can then print out then and there to hand off to their patients. So this is a really great way to engage physicians and provide more information to the doctors this way. The PRE website, which I mentioned from the brochures, we've developed a section on information for families, again, so that physicians can have a place to send their patients. But importantly, we also included a section for clinicians. We wanted to really provide a place where we could compile the evidence available that we have, studies, just providing resources for clinicians to integrate environmental health into their practice. And as an important part of this section for clinicians is to include professional society databases, or a database of professional society statements, sorry. So professional societies put together statements when an issue comes up that they feel is important for their constituents to address with their patient population. And so what we've done is we've taken the statements that are relating to reproductive environmental health and compiled it into a document that can be found on our website. And if you recall from the surveys, having statements from ACOG is one of the things that obstetricians asked for in terms of how they would like to get this information. So this is a really valuable tool, not only for obstetricians to see what other professional societies are saying, but that this is the resources that they trust. And likewise, engaging the professional societies is that they have a powerful voice in policy prevention, in producing policy that will ensure prevention. And so avoiding toxic chemicals, sometimes it's very difficult to avoid toxic chemicals at an individual level. So for example, your air or your water. But when professional societies take a stance, then policy members, policy makers are going to listen. And so in this case, this is a letter that was written from ACOG to the EPA on the re-registration of the pesticide chlorpyrifos. And this was the first time that ACOG took a stance on a registration of a chemical in this way, sending a letter to the EPA. So again, engaging the professional societies is important for improving policy. Another way to reach that we've been working with the FASTEP Alliance to reach physician has been publishing papers and journals that obstetricians read, which is another thing that was mentioned earlier in one of the talks. So this was a paper that was published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. We've also worked to publish papers in San Francisco Med, which is the publication of the San Francisco Physicians for Social Responsibility. We're working to integrate environmental health in medical education. Again, teaching the upcoming doctors about reproductive environmental health while it's still in their training. So we've written book chapters in, we've written a chapter in medical textbooks. We're also proud to be, Trace Dr. Woodruff, the director of PRE, will be giving a lecture in one of the mandatory courses for second year medical students at UCSF. And so that's a really important step, is actually integrating the topic of reproductive environmental health into medical education. So navigating the science, this really could take a whole presentation on its own, but so I'll just summarize it very briefly. It started out as a part of the Fast Step Alliance, and now it's its own alliance of over 80 researchers and clinicians. In short, it is a systematic and transparent methodology for evaluating the available human and animal evidence so that it can be applied to clinical practice. Currently, the Navigation Guide is working on a case study on PFCs, or perfluorocarbons, the chemical that's found in nonstick cookware. And so, to summarize, we know that pregnant women are exposed to multiple chemicals and that they're a vulnerable population. We know that doctors feel underprepared to deal with the issue regarding reproductive environmental health, and that there's a disconnect between the science that's available in animal studies and human epidemiological studies and the evidence that doctors need and want to incorporate it into their clinical practice. I've talked about some of the strategies that we've incorporated through the Fast Step Alliance to engage with clinicians, and our ultimate goal through all of this work is to empower physicians to be able to address the role of environmental health and disease. This is our website. You can download for free any of the brochures. You can also see our physicians, our policy professional societies database. I'd like to thank the Fast Step Alliance for all the hard work that they do, and also the collaborators on this presentation, and we will be working on publishing the work from our survey. So, thank you.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Jessica. And so we have a few minutes for questions. Do you have any questions you'd like to pose about UCSF PRE program, Fast Step Alliance? I'm a proud member of the Fast Step Alliance, so I can attest to how wonderful an experience it has been to help move this issue forward. It's an extremely important issue.
Yes.
That's a great question. So the question was whether or not we saw any regional differences with the responses of OBs, and we looked really hard to see if we could find anything. And the problem really is that we couldn't standardize any of the results for... We had proportions, but it was really... I couldn't figure out how to standardize the numbers to actually be able to compare the different regions. So we know that in California there's a really high proportion, but we didn't have the data to standardize it.
I'm wondering if you either ask the question or expect an answer without asking the question, there would be differences depending on where a physician got their degree. Not where they practice, but where they got their degree.
That's a really good question. We didn't look at where they got the degree. We did look at age, and we really didn't see anything regarding age, and so that was another thing that we wanted to know was, do older physicians have a certain view towards reproductive environmental health? But we didn't find that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jessica.